Hi, Emerald listeners. Welcome back to another episode of How It's Reported, the podcast where we find out how our favorite Emerald stories were written. My name is Julia Bobach, and I am here with Tarik Anthony, a freshman journalism and political science major and news writer for the Daily Emerald. Today, we're talking about his four profiles on mayoral candidates Karin Knudsen, Shanae Joyce Stringer, Stefan Streck, and Douglas Barr, who, since the article was published, has dropped out of the race.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So my first question for you is how you got the story and how you got in touch with the four candidates.
So in high school, we used to make the Evanstonian, that was the name of the newspaper's guide to the local elections. It was very popular and was really helpful for getting people to understand who was running and what they wanted. So when I came to the Emerald, I knew that in this election year that I wanted to do something similar. So in November, I initially pitched my story to do profiles on Shanae Joyce Stringer and Karin Knudsen, who were the only two running at the time. Douglas Barr joined right before Christmas. And I couldn't find, the internet was completely clean. There wasn't a drop of anything about him. And it was, really irritating me because I was I want to talk to him. Then beginning of February or mid-February, he emailed our editor-in-chief, Evan, and he was I want a profile, too. And then Stefan Streck joined. The filing deadline was March 6th, and Stefan Streck, I believe, joined, February 28th or something. So it was really late. And so I saw that, and I was okay, well, it's only fair, even if he joined late, that I have to do a profile on him, too. And I was also curious because of his past political endeavors that I wanted to see what his missions and his ideas were for this go around.
Well, I'm really curious what questions you asked.
It definitely depended on the candidate. For each candidate, I had three main issues. It was homelessness, ballot measure 110, mm-hmm. which was the drug decriminalization, which was interesting because that kind of changed.
Yeah.
The farther you went. So when I talked to Shanae Joyce Stringer in December, it's do you think it needs to be reformed? Do you think it needs to be repealed? Or do you like it the way it is? And then by the time I talked to Streck, it was it's been repealed. What do you think,
Yeah.
Yeah, it was homelessness, ballot measure 110, and then other just general problems that they saw specifically had fairly similar answers. It was mental health care, mm-hmm. homelessness, and affordable housing was the main priority of all of them.
And in terms of writing, what information was most important for you to include out of the interviews that you had?
Well, a couple of them, it's they say something that's controversial or really important that takes center stage, the Douglas Barr thing,
mm-hmm.
or some things that Stefan Streck said that I was it could be viewed as controversial.
Right.
And so it's people need to know that that's the approach that this mayoral candidate is going to take towards office.
Mm-hmm. And so I do want to touch on Barr because Barr participated in a gay bashing in 1984.
Yeah.
When he was 19. And Barr has since dropped his candidacy in the mayoral race. But I was still curious about how you got that piece of information of his criminal record. And then in terms of the interview and writing the story, how did you approach both of those things after finding out this really crucial piece of information about his past?
It was the whole thing was I didn't know any of this going into it. I don't think even if I had done, I'd done a lot of background research on him as much as possible. But like I said before, there was not a lot about him. It was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we sat down on this park bench, outside the law school. And so I was I haven't seen anything about you online. So tell me about your past. What have you done for work and family and whatnot? And he was can I tell you about my actual past? And I was please do. And he's oh, so I'm a convicted felon. And he was it was for a hate crime. And I was oh,
So you found out in the interview.
Yeah.
You didn't have any prior. Oh,
no.
My gosh.
Yeah. So okay. He was it was for a hate crime on a gay person. It was three levels until the full thing got out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talked about how he had. He talked about how he had reformed and how he had educated himself. He was trying to play it off afterward,
mm-hmm.
And be what I did was horrible, but mm-hmm. I've reformed and now Eugene should be ready for a mayor who's been convicted of a felony was his gist of that. When he said hate crime against a gay person, I thought he said something or did something like that. And so I was okay, that's crazy, but I'm going to go on with the rest of the interview, which I did. We talked about his issues and whatnot. And then at the end, I still hadn't known, the extent of what he did. So I was this is going to come up, Right. We can't avoid that. And he was like, I know, like, that's why I told you. But according to him, he had gone into the Eugene Weekly the day before our interview, and they had brought it up to him, and he said that he felt, like, ambushed. So that's why he, like, came to me, because he wanted to get out, like, ahead of it. So I went, I, like, walked out of the interview, and I texted my editor. I was like, we have a situation that, like, needs to be handled, like, very delicately, like, mm-hmm. how to, like, balance the two. And so, yeah, I wrote the story that night with mm-hmm. what I knew. We published it, and I never heard from him again, and then he dropped out a few weeks later. I didn't receive any feedback personally. Like, I normally receive emails on stories that people aren't happy with, but mm-hmm. The people on Reddit went crazy. Someone published the story, and then like, there's like hundreds of comments like going off on him or in support of him or saying people can reform, and it was wild, though, like the whole like sequence of events.
And in terms of the other articles, so Karen Knudsen, Shanae Joyce Stringer, and then Stephen Streck, did you have any challenges in terms of writing their stories?
The Knudsen one I definitely didn't, because I knew there was so much information about her, and I knew so many like little details that could like humanize it and like make it fun. Mm-hmm. The Joyce Stringer one, not hard. Mm-hmm. It was just I didn't get as like straightforward, like I want to do this and that. It was so that was a little bit harder, but overall wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. And the Stefan Streck one was probably the hardest, honestly, because I talked to him for an hour and a half, but like when I was going back over the audio, it's like there's not a lot here. He also,
in terms of issues that he wanted to approach,
yeah. Like, I was like, so, like, what are your priorities to the city? Or, like, what do you want to fix? Or, like, what do you see wrong? And everything was like, oh, this is mismanaged. Or, like, the whole city's mismanaged. The whole city's mismanaged. I was like, can you, like, name certain examples? And he was like, I can't name, like, a certain one because it's all mismanaged. It was like, what do I do with that, you know? That's not insightful to anybody. That's right. Not teaching anyone, like, oh, like, he thinks this is a problem and he wants to fix it. That's right. Not productive. So that was the hardest. And then addressing certain things he said about HIV and its relation to drug overdoses during the interview was hard. So that was the hardest part of that, and then navigating how to put that into the article, because it's important that if you're voting for them as mayor that you understand what they think about drug reform and mm-hmm. what they're saying about certain groups of people.
And throughout the whole process of writing these four profiles now, over the past few months, what have you taken out of the experience of talking to the candidates? What have you learned, maybe about research beforehand?
Yeah.
But, yeah, what did you kind of get out of the experience?
Well, every candidate was so different, and our conversations were, like, wildly different, for better or for worse, you know? And so, doing your research, which I always do some research before my interviews, but, like, not 45 minutes to find, like, something that happened in the 80s research, but
right.
Now I was running background checks on every single city council candidate last night for that exact reason, because I feel that if the Eugene Weekly hadn't wrote it up, then that could have gone undetected again, right. Which that would have been bad. So doing more in-depth research, I was reading through Stefan Streck's Facebook post from, like, 2016, because I knew that he had had some problems in the past with saying controversial things. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that I was covering all my bases. And so also, if he was saying stuff to me that didn't align with what he had posted or shared in the past, that was addressed. I had like some screenshots and some different things for each candidate that I was like, you said this, but now you're saying this.
Mm. What changed?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Are you gonna keep doing this for every type of election?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's been popular. People like it. It's been well received. Like, it's probably like the most well received out of all my things. I haven't received any emails about any of them, actually. So, yeah.
What do you think is the importance of like people being? This is a very journalistic question for you right here. What do you think the importance is of people being educated about the candidates who are going up for the elections in their cities and states and countries, and why was it important for you to write stories and talk about their goals and aspirations for the election?
Especially for Eugene this year, mayoral candidates aren't usually like immediately endorsed by the mayor. That's announced like as soon as the mayor steps down. So as soon as Vinnis stepped down, she was like, "I'm stepping. Like I'm not rerunning. But here's my replacement." I mean, it happens, but like that's uncommon for the most part. So I wanted to give the other candidates like a fair chance, you know? Mm. Like, just because she is being picked by Venice doesn't mean that she's necessarily the best or the worst candidate, you know? So I think giving people of Eugene just information. And also, you can read about all their, like, platforms and what they're running on, like, on their website. But that's rehearsed and that's perfected to what people want to hear. But I think part, like, for if I'm voting, like, I want to know, like, who they are as a person. Like, what do they do for fun? Like, and what do they do for work and things like that. And so I thought it was interesting. And I also thought it was looking at LinkedIn pages is very insightful for things like this. Because you can see, like, oh, like, they had 8 jobs in, like, 2 years. Like, that's crazy. Or they've been working at the same job for 39 years. So I think just making them, like, humanized and not like these, like, ghost mayoral figures that one of them will take over your city in November or whenever they get inaugurated. So for Eugene, I think that's important, and especially for city council, because in the grand scheme of things, people don't vote in local elections like that, because there's 3 random names and the incumbent is likely going to win. But this year, there's only a few incumbents. And like Ward 1, Emily Semple stepped down. So now there's 3 people running who have never held this position before. And so they're just names on a piece of paper. And if people don't know who they are, they're just going to show up and start circling names on, oh, like, I like this name better than that name, or man or woman, or whatever stereotypes they could think of that they just start circling. So I think it's really important to educate voters like that. And that goes outside of Eugene. The more you know about the people. I think also it takes time to learn about person and make an educated vote. So if you can make like 800 word little profiles that like give insight into who they are, you should go beyond that, but it's a good start, you know, and that's more than if you just went in and started circling names.
Absolutely. And that Ward 2 and Ward 7, those profiles will at least be out soon. And is there anything else that you want to add that
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe anything
it's
I didn't ask
fun,
you?
I don't know. I have fun with it. Meet all sorts of crazy people and different backgrounds. And, like, everyone's just so different. Like, that's the fun part. Like, you never know what you're going to get. You go into Espresso Roma and you don't know whether you're going to get a rehearsed politician or somebody who's this is their first time running and now they want because they're upset about something. So, yeah, you meet a large range of people. And they all say that they're running on the same things in general, but then they all have their specific solutions. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm also a political science major, so it's like nerdy, I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. This is cool.
Yeah. Thanks again to my guest, Tariq Anthony. You can find his mayoral candidate profiles as well as other pieces he's written at dailyemerald.com. That's also where you can find episodes of this podcast or follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, or SoundCloud. Thanks for listening to How It's Reported. I will see you next time.